The opinions of Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman don't reflect the views of Gal Media. Parental discretion is advised. KFNC Mont Belvieu, Houston, a Gal Media station. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Today's Blitz Rewind starts now.
I know there's been a lot of outrage about scoring and things like that, and I know that's what everybody's wanting to hear today. Oh, John Jones, they ripped off Dominic Ray. I didn't see it that way. I mean, I thought it was a close fight that could have gone either way, and it went John Jones' way. And the truth is, when those fights happen, particularly championship fights, when they are close, it's very rare that the champion doesn't end up winning those.
I thought the quality of play was better than I was expecting. I don't think the rules changes really made much of a difference in the game in terms of, I mean, the kickoff is kind of cool. I like that. As I mentioned on the broadcast, I love the transparency. I love them, you know, calling the plays. I had no idea what the plays were, you know, but it was kind of cool to hear that. It was cool to see the replays and how that worked. And it was really a good game experience on TV.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on the Blitz. Hour number three, 713-780-ESPN's your number, 713-780-3776. Also get us on the Blitz Facebook page, find the Blitz, send a message to Aaron. He'll read it. There's Twitter, at Fred Fowler, F-A-O-U-R, at AJ is the real, at Aaron is Blitz, at Degenerates 975. You can text the show, at least for a few more weeks, 713-780-3776. You can also watch us on Twitch. You missed the first 2 hours. That's some of what you miss. A lot of, talked a little XFL. We talked a lot about the fights and worked in some NFL as well. Little Astros.
Little Oscars. Yeah, and you were saying you haven't watched Parasite.
I have not.
But I wanted to go over some of what I thought made it the obvious choice for Best Picture. So, Aaron, you want to help me out and play some of these clips for Fred so he can know what he's missing out on? Oh, thank you.
네가 내 대신 얘 과외 선생님 좀 해줘라, 영어. 대학생인 척하라는 거야? 구라를 좀 치지 뭐.
Boy, I hope they weren't cussing there.
No, so what they were saying was, he was saying to take over as the English tutor, and he said, "Well, I can't be the English tutor. I don't have a degree." Like I said, just fake it. No big deal.
So, okay.
Okay, go ahead and play the second clip. This will really give Fred a feel for the movie.
우리 다성이는 완전 예술가 체질인데.
침팬지를 그린 거죠?
자화상이에요.
That's hilarious, right?
Dude, she's sexy.
But that is a good, that's a good joke. What about this one?
이게 다 다성이 마음속의 블랙박스인데. 그 검은 상자를 저와 함께 열어보시겠어요, 어머니? 열고 싶습니다, 선생님.
I don't know if that's like sexual innuendo or what. I mean, but either way, things like that's what's making the movie intriguing to me. And here's the last clip, and this is a really great example of what they did.
기장아, 조심해. 예.
I mean, if that doesn't get you worked up.
Now I know why it won. It's just Korean Shape of Water. That's all that was.
Fred, I mean, no. Stop. There was some serious moments in this movie. So, that's just part of the reason why it won. I thought that some of the dialogue there was just really, really intense. It'll make you laugh. It'll make you cry. It's the kind of movie that the Academy loves. You know that, Fred.
Well,
I saw you getting emotional on that last clip.
No, but I did think the second clip or so, she sounded pretty sexy.
When she was talking about the chimpanzee?
Yeah. I thought she was speaking directly to me. So.
So congratulations to Parasite. I knew you'd like that.
Yeah. Mont says, pretty damn sad y'all had to go create another medium for something that Twitter provides. Actually, Twitter doesn't provide one third of the stuff we're going to have on this. So people are reluctant to get on social media, not sure how jacked they'll be to get on a website. Well, we'll find out. I mean, we're going to give people an opportunity to win stuff. And if they want to do it, great. But, you know, the text line's going away. And yes, Twitter has benefited from us more than we benefit from Twitter. So, you know, it's a business decision. And I think it's a good one. So we shall see. Somebody says, thanks for spoiling it for me, guys.
Yeah, sorry. I know there's some people who...
Yeah, you know, I haven't seen it either. I haven't seen it either, and now you've ruined it.
Yeah, but yeah, I just thought, you know, people who are like, oh, it shouldn't have won. I mean, when you hear stuff like that, you can't tell me that that's not a special film.
Okay. See, this is where you're pulling out, like, the three or four greatest moments of something.
Yeah, maybe so. Maybe it's the highlights.
And but that's it. Yeah, maybe the rest of the movie isn't quite as good, but it's just, you know, they wanted a Korean movie to win. And, no, that wasn't male golfer texter.
Let's talk to Timmy. Hello, Timmy.
Hello?
Hey, sports.
What's going on?
You tell us. You called the show. Hello.
I'm sorry. I just wanted to talk a little bit about Cougar basketball. I took my grandson to the game. First time at the new arena yesterday. What an electric environment. Very cost friendly. And it was just nice to see a team in Houston actually play defense for a change.
Yeah, it's a good looking squad, man. And it, you know, part of it is I hate to, the downside is this kind of takes away from what UH did yesterday, but it seems like the wheels have totally fallen off Wichita, who I would have thought coming into the season was going to be arguably the best team in that conference. Well, until the Memphis debacle happened.
Yeah.
Once the Memphis debacle happened, I thought Wichita was primed to take over as the best team in that conference, and they've just fallen apart. And UH is definitely one of the teams in the conversation as best team in that conference now. And they sweep Wichita.
Hammered them both times, too.
Yeah. And I think that, you know, that if they can end up splitting with Cincinnati, they'll be in really good shape. You know, that's...
And Tulsa.
Tulsa's another one, although Tulsa looks like maybe they're starting to run into a rough patch as well. So yeah. Another dangerous team is SMU. I think that team is better than what their record says.
They've got one more game against them in Dallas, and then they've got still have two with Memphis.
But they are – the Cougars are going to be favored in every game they play going forward. So if that holds, they'll finish – you know, you're talking about 26-5 or something. I mean, that's – it's pretty salty. That's a nice resume. So they're
very talented. They're the difference though between last year's team had shooters and this year's team cannot shoot threes. This is why they've had some games where they've sort of fallen apart in the last few minutes and haven't been able to close them out. They rebound like fiends. They play great defense,
especially on the offensive boards. They rebound.
Yeah, and they get a lot of extra possessions that way, which makes up for the lack of shooting.
They're sort of a poor man's West Virginia. They don't have the size West Virginia has. But you're right. It is they don't shoot well, but they always get extra opportunities because they crash. And it's one way. I don't know how well it'll play in the tournament. I feel like in the tournament you've got to have a guy who could put the team on his back and you know go off. I don't know that UH has that. Which I don't. West Virginia sure doesn't. But I don't know if they have that. But in that conference, it's good enough, and that there's something to be said for that.
A vast majority of the people who listen are in their cars. Terrible business decision to take off the text line, guys. The text
you'll be able to text to this new thing. Apparently,
the text was always going away, so you know you're going to have a different option now, basically. But the text line was always going to go away, and not everybody uses it, and it's And again, how am I benefiting from a text line? How is this station, how is this company benefiting from a text line? So 713-780-ESPN is your number.
All right, I got to tell you guys about Pajamagram. Guys, Valentine's Day this Friday, which when I heard that, I couldn't believe it. I mean, it's snuck up on us here. And if it snuck up on you, good news. Pajamagram's got you covered. They've got the Tempting Touch PJs. Micro velvet is what it's made with, created by the pajama experts at Pajamagram. And these Tempting Touch PJs are the softest pajamas that have ever been created in history. I think, I don't know if you can get that fabric anywhere else in the whole wide world. I think it's only exclusive to the scientists at Pajamagram. But it's the softest thing you'll ever feel. Go to pajamagram.com to get them. She's going to love you for it. They're relaxing to wear, irresistible to touch. And when she's happy, you know you're going to be happy. And that's what it's all about on Valentine's Day. A Valentine's gift has never felt this tempting. And you don't need to gift wrap because every Pajamagram includes free gift packaging. Thank goodness for those of us who don't know how to wrap. And Valentine's Day delivery guaranteed. Visit pajamagram.com today. That's pajamagram.com. Tell them AJ Hoffman sent you.
G'day mate, this is Sam Windsor of the Houston Sabercats. You're listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
Listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
Joining us now on the program is the head coach of the Texas A&M men's basketball program, Coach Buzz Williams, on the program. Coach, how are you doing today?
Doing great, thank you. How are you?
Cannot complain. Let's talk about the last couple games for your Aggies since we last spoke. And again, sort of mixed results, I would say. And this the South Carolina game, it really seemed like you guys were in that thing. And then at halftime, and I know you have said before, you and Frank Martin are very close. It seemed like Frank's team just kind of flipped a switch. What did you think of? I mean, maybe it was a little before halftime that it switched. But what did you think? What kind of adjustments did you think that they made to slow you guys down?
We started good. We started 9-0. That was the score at the first ATO. And then I think the score at the end of the half was 41-23. So from the first ATO until halftime, they outscored us 41-14. And then in the first ATO of the second half, we started the same guys, which was my mistake. They outscored us 15-3. So they're in that 20-minute segment. They just absolutely handled us in every possible way. I don't know if Coach made any adjustments per se. I think the thing that hurt us, number one, they played a lot harder. Number two, our turnover rate was the highest we've had in conference play. We've had a couple of other games in early November when we turned the ball over at an alarming rate, but we had 20 turnovers against South Carolina, and for us, a lot of those were live ball turnovers that just turned into layups for them. And we can, and I don't know, honestly, AJ, that many teams can absorb as many turnovers as we had in as few a possession game as it was. And of those turnovers, many of them being of the live ball variety, it's too much for our team to overcome for sure. But I think it's probably too much for any team to overcome.
That was one of the poorest shooting performances you guys have had in conference play as well. Was it bad shot selection? Was it good defense? What did you attribute that to?
I think they're entering today. So if you count Saturday's game and you're only talking about conference games, I think Kentucky's number one field goal percentage defense in the league. South Carolina is two. Texas A&M is three. We shot more bad shots percentage wise than we typically do. But also we turned the ball over at an astronomical rate and we gave up more points in transition than we do. Much of that is all connected. We shot bad shots that we call surprise shots. We didn't know we were going to shoot it. And so our guys that have the responsibility of getting back didn't and or were late. And then when you have a live ball turnover and it's a broken floor, all of those numbers are connected. It was the highest number of turnovers we've had in a conference game, and it was the highest number of points allowed in transition. And it was the highest percentage of bad shots that we have shot. So all of that is connected, and all of it leads to losing for sure.
Well, let's rewind a little bit to the Missouri game, which had a little happier ending. You guys seemed like you were taking control of the game. It was pretty nip and tuck up until about, you know, 7-8 minutes to go in the first half. You guys start to pull away early in the second half. They cut the lead to one, and it seemed like once that happened, your team really started to take off about the last 15 minutes of that second half. What did you see out of your team in that?
Yeah, a few things. We didn't give them points in transition. They scored 4 points in the game in transition. In comparison, South Carolina scored 20. A 16-point difference for a team that's as deficient as we are offensively, that's a lot of points. We did a much better job on the glass. I think we beat Missouri on the glass overall by 19. What that means is it doesn't necessarily mean we're a great rebounding team. What it means, though, is we're, by and large, only giving the opponent one shot, which is very healthy for us. And number two, it probably means we're getting at least as many or more shots than the opponent, because if we're beating the opponent by that much on the glass, it means that we're also getting extra possessions from offensive rebounds. And so in the same manner that we lost to South Carolina, you could attribute a lot of those same variables to why we won against Missouri. We controlled the glass, which means we still had too many turnovers, but when we didn't turn it over, the ball hit the rim, and E-Man, Nebo, even Savion, I think Savion had 10 rebounds, which is the most he's had since he's been here with us. All of that trends very well, because it means to some degree we're able to shorten the game and control the possession, and that's really important for us. In the second half, Q and Nebo were very effective playing on one side of the floor. We had 12 post feeds that turned into 10 fouls, really good. And then Q was able to get fouled a lot, which also helps. When we're able to get a high number of free throw makes, it kind of skews our numbers. It doesn't mean we're a good offensive team. It just means we're kind of cheating the system, so to say, when we're able to make a lot of free throws. We had 25 free throw makes against Missouri, and so that allows our points per possession to be slightly above one, which is good, but it was because of our free throw makes. We got to the bonus both halves at about the 12-minute media timeout against Missouri.
Yeah, that's sort of the alarming number is 25 free throws. And you shot about your season percentage. Your team's not a great free throw shooting team, but when you get 20, when you shoot 37 of them, if you're making 67%, that can really inflate what you're doing. Do you feel like that was partly in due to you guys' aggressiveness on offense, or was Missouri just kind of sloppy with their hands?
You know, Missouri is hard to get to the rim. They do a really good job with their hands, whether that's a deflection off a pass or a reach on a drive. When we play in straight lines, just like any other team, you have a chance to be fouled. When you're going crooked or kind of east and west, not north and south, and it's circular or it's a fat drive is what we call it, teams don't have to foul you because you're going towards the intersection of the sideline and the baseline as opposed to going directly to the rim. South Carolina's pressure makes it really hard to go in straight lines. We were able to go in straight lines better against Missouri. I think at their place, I think we made 16 free throws at Missouri and made 25 at our place against Missouri. We made a lot of free throws against South Carolina here. I think that was the game that we attempted 41 and made 28. And then Saturday at South Carolina, we made 17. A lot of those were over the last 15 minutes when I subbed the starters out and didn't play them again. I guess E-Man played a little bit of minutes over the last 15 minutes, but just rested the rest of those guys. We were able to get fouled. It was Q mostly who got fouled down the stretch at South Carolina.
Well, let's look ahead to Wednesday night. First time playing on a Wednesday, it seems, or you guys back-to-back Wednesdays in a while. You've been on the Tuesday stretch, but February giving you more of those Wednesday games. First, does that extra day of preparation during the week, does that help you guys?
Well, so, you know, obviously this is brand new. Yesterday was the first weekend day off we had had since Christmas. We played every Tuesday and Saturday since conference play began. And because of that, it means that our off day is on Wednesday. And so these 2 weeks, this week and next week, those are the only 2 weeks of the season that we play Wednesday, Saturday. And so Wednesday, Saturday games mean that our day off will be Sunday. So it's really not an extra day of prep because you still have to take a day off. It just recalibrated our day off being yesterday because we're going to play Wednesday and Saturday. So Monday and Tuesday will be prep for Wednesday. Thursday and Friday will be prep for Saturday. And then this upcoming Sunday, 6 days from now, we'll be off again and it'll be the same routine. And so I don't know if that's good or bad. It's for sure, in my career, it's the first time I've ever seen it happen the way that it has. We play more games in February than we do in January. And of the games that we played in January, four were on the road, four were at home. Half of the weekday games were on the road, half of them were at home, and the same scenario with the weekend games. And so is it better? I don't know that it's a weekend day off. I think it's probably better for our kids because they don't have to go to school, so maybe it felt more like a day off for them. We'll see if that matters come Wednesday or not. It's just our first rep doing it, so I don't have any evidence to speak.
The upcoming opponent is the Florida Gators, who I think if we were looking at teams in the SEC and maybe teams nationally who have disappointed relative to preseason expectation, Florida would be at the top of the list. And I think that speaks to the talent that they have on their team. What have you seen? Why do you think Florida hasn't been able to put it together? And is it difficult to tell your guys, hey, this isn't your average 14-9 team. These guys have some real players.
Yeah, I know they were preseason top vote getters and all of that stuff. I don't know if that's the media that votes on that or exactly all of those different polls in the SEC across the country. I haven't completely finished my studying. I spent most of the day, to be honest with you, yesterday studying South Carolina because we're 5-5. And in some respects, we've come a long way since Christmas, and in some respects, we've figured out how to be consistently inconsistent, and as a coach, I guess I want to spend as much time studying us as I do the opponent, because I don't think, relative to where we're at, overloading our guys with opponent information is necessarily the right approach. What we need to do is get better at us and being consistent at what gives us our best chance. Relative to their team, I'm not sure. I haven't studied Kentucky. I know they're top 10 in the country, but relative to prospects and players and personnel, I would say Florida's as good or better than most anybody in the country. Why are they a game above 500? I haven't studied it enough, AJ, to know. And because this is, you know, with each game, all of it is brand new. We've only played two mirror opponents thus far in conference play. I have to prevent myself from trying to get ahead because we need to give all of our energy to the current team and our current opponent. So I'll do a little bit of that tomorrow and Tuesday or today and tomorrow. But I know from a talent perspective, I know they're as good as, at least as good as anybody in the country relative to their roster and their depth.
Well, one of the things I've noticed with your schedule here, and I'm curious how you respond to this and how you guys prepare for it. You guys are obviously a slowed down team as far as tempo goes. You want to limit the number of possessions on either side. And you guys have kind of bounced back and forth between opponent style. You play Georgia, who likes to go fast. Missouri likes to go slow. South Carolina likes to go fast. Florida likes to go slow. And then you'll have Georgia again, who likes to go fast. Is it difficult for your team to adjust to the expectations, to the speed of the game when you kind of go back and forth like that?
I think when it gets too fast, it's easy to see that the game is out of whack for us. At Georgia, the game was out of whack. We could not slow number five down. We could not stop the ball in transition. It was way too fast for us. We were depending an awful lot on controlling tempo by how we play defensively. We don't want to rely just on our offense controlling. It's almost time of possession. And just like really good football teams do, we need our offense to help our defense, and I'm not making light of that. But we need our defense to be really good. And the best way for our defense to be really good is for the opponent to play against a set defense. In order for that to happen, we need as many dead balls as possible. We need as many free throw makes as possible. And then when it's not a dead ball, we need the ball on the rim. Because if we lose the ball instead of getting a shot, number one, that makes the game faster. Number two, that was a possession we didn't get a shot, which assures us a possession that we didn't have a chance to get an offensive rebound. And it assures us that defensively we're not set. And so all of those things are true, no matter what team you're talking about. All of those statements are true. But specific to our team and what gives us our best chance, we need those things to happen a lot. Are we slow? Yes. Are we slow because of how we play offensively? Yeah, a little bit. Are we slow because when opponents play against a set defense, they're going to have to work longer in order to get the type of shot that they want? For sure. And when we're not doing those things, the compound effect or the collective number of possessions where those things don't occur, they're really hard for us to overcome.
All right, that's Coach Buzz Williams. They'll take on Florida on Wednesday, Georgia on Saturday, both home games for the Aggies. So nice to have some back-to-back home cooking. Coach, appreciate the time, and we'll talk to you again this time next week.
Yes, sir. Have a good day.
All right, you too.
All right, guys, and if you own your home, listen up to my words so I can save you some money. Well, not me saving you money. I guess it'd be TGS technically saving you money on your homeowner's insurance. And you don't have to talk to an agent. That's great. And it takes 15 seconds to get a quote. Come on, you can't beat that. Grab your phone, text the word money to 232323. System will ask for your address. You reply back with that, they'll send you a full quote with excellent coverage within 15 seconds. Boom. And this company, these savings, they are legit. The average customer last year saved over $870 on home insurance. That could be you. What would you do with an extra $870 a year? You wouldn't spend it on your home insurance. I can bet that. And you don't need to wait for your renewal because TGS takes care of the back end, all the nonsense, all the hassle. You can just free your mind and start saving cash. One more time, text the word money to 232323. Get your home insurance quote and start saving today with TGS Insurance.
Years of research and innovation.
Innovation Map is the new voice of innovation in Houston.
Pretty cool, huh, Morty?
Covering startups, tech, energy, health, social impact, and more. Visit innovationmap.com today.
Do it now! Do it! Do it! Do it now!
This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on The Blitz. Football fans join John Granato and Nate Griffin as they call the game for your Houston Roughnecks this Sunday at 4:30 p.m. Tune in to hear them take on the St. Louis Battlehawks. All right here on ESPN 97.5, your home for Houston Roughnecks football.
I got to see, I didn't plan on seeing the end of the Duke-North Carolina game on Saturday because I was at the fights.
Yeah.
But I recorded the fights at home as well so I could go back and watch them. And the fight started late because North Carolina-Duke went to overtime.
Yeah.
If you didn't see this, the last 3 to 4 minutes of regulation and overtime are about as crazy as you can get.
Yeah, I didn't. I watched Well, I saw Duke tie it up to send it to overtime, and that's when I switched over to watch the fights. So I didn't see what happened after that.
With 2 minutes left to play in the game, North Carolina's win probability was 97.7%. Spoiler alert, they didn't win. A lot of it was missed free throws, but Trey Jones shooting, and they did the thing where you foul, like Roy Williams, there was like seven seconds left on the clock. They fouled him up three. They fouled the guy so he can only take two shots. Makes the first one and bangs the second shot off the rim, gets his own rebound, hits a game winner, goes to overtime. They're down in overtime. In overtime, that with 20 seconds left, North Carolina's win probability was 96.5. Spoiler alert, they didn't win. And you get the crazy putback at the end. I mean, just a wild finish to a game where North Carolina really was kind of in control the entire game until about 2-3 minutes left. And it just kind of unraveled on them. And that's, I mean, they're having a bad season, but man, that's a tough one. It's a tough one to stomach.
Yeah, they,
and Brad called it.
Yeah.
I mean, he said that was going to be a close game, and that was his best bet of the week. So, good call by him. That was a I thought that North Carolina could hang with him within the number, within 10. But did I think that they'd be going to overtime and should have won
chance,
the game?
Every chance to win the game twice.
I didn't see it.
You know, one last thing on the Roughnecks, and it kind of addresses what you were talking about, not knowing the players. There was a league a few years ago that never got off the ground, but was going to be a spring league. Mm-hmm. And I always liked this concept. The teams were going to use
have localized guys.
Yeah, college players from, like, for instance, this team would have Texas, A&M, Houston, those kind of guys, so that you would know the players. And I always thought that was a pretty cool idea. And I kind of wish some of these leagues would look at that, because I do think that would give people some players to root for. Now, if you have 17,000 people show up every week and they get to know these guys,
yeah,
then it'll be fine. But, you know, yeah, for a first game, there was some, yeah, like, I know who Cardale Jones is. Everybody does. That was,
if you're a Bills fan, you do.
But, you know, guys like him, you're going to know. But, you know, Aaron Murray. I mean,
and people know Aaron Murray, though.
Yeah, but I mean, I've kind of seen enough of Aaron Murray.
Yeah.
I don't really need to watch him anymore. But that's. You know, that's the one thing that I was kind of like, I kind of agree that, yeah, but I kind of, if you're interested, you'll learn those guys. I'm going to give you a quick Hollywood update.
Okay.
Have you seen Birds of Prey yet?
I've not. I want to watch it, though.
Well, apparently things did not go well opening weekend.
Financially?
Yeah, so they have changed the name of it already. From Birds of Prey and the Fantabulous Emancipation of One Harley Quinn, which is a terrible title, to Harley Quinn, Birds of Prey.
That's what it should have been called all along.
Yeah, yeah, because they're thinking that will help. But it opened only $33.2 million at the domestic box office.
And that's wild because, I mean, like I said, rave reviews it's getting.
Yeah.
I mean, people are loving that movie.
It's rated R, and they're thinking that's part of the problem, too. Can't fix that now. But Deadpool and Joker did 130 and 90 respectively, and they weren't expecting that, but they were expecting 50. And it's got good reviews, but I wonder if the target audience isn't a little bit younger.
You going to watch it?
I'm not going to go see it in the theater, but I will watch it when it becomes available.
Okay. Yeah, so, I don't know if I'll watch it in theater or not, because I can't take my kids to it.
Yeah, and I mean, that's kind of who you'd want to take, right?
Yeah.
So that's probably part of the issue with it. But anyway, just a little Hollywood update there for you. So I most movies these days I wait until they're available on, you know, available for rent on DirecTV or on Netflix or whatever.
That's what you're doing with Parasite.
Yeah. I'm not going to go to the theater to see Parasite.
Okay.
I did want to go see 1917, but I think it's already gone.
Yeah.
So that's another one. It looked interesting, but it also looked like it'd be a lot more interesting in my own living room. I've gotten to where it's pretty rare to go to the theater to see something. Like I think Endgame might have been the last one that I actually went to the theater for. Now you got kids, so you probably do it more often.
Yeah.
But no, I take it back. I went and saw Knives Out on Christmas. That was the last one.
Okay.
Because we always go Christmas Day. It's just kind of it's become sort of a tradition. We always go to a movie in the afternoon. So, but it wasn't like I was going to see that one. It was just the best thing that was available on Christmas Day.
Right.
It was either going to be that or that Adam Sandler movie. Did you see he signed four more movies with Netflix?
Yeah, good for him.
Man, that guy, I don't know how he does it, because I can't remember the last time he did a movie where I was even remotely interested. But they all make money.
Yeah.
And he's cleaning up, so he's got a four-movie deal with Netflix. I haven't seen any of the other ones on Netflix. But that's good for him. Have you got Disney Plus yet?
Yeah.
Did you ever watch that Mandalorian?
No.
I'm just curious, because a lot of people tell me it's good. I just haven't. I haven't added it yet.
Yeah, I haven't watched it. You haven't added Disney Plus?
Yeah.
Oh, my wife got rid of my ESPN Plus and then did some kind of package deal. So now, if I want to watch ESPN Plus, I have to sign in under her account.
I hate that.
I hate it.
Yeah, my wife does that too. I've been watching that Jack Taylor on Netflix. I'm really enjoying that.
Okay.
Hey, I've got a job for you.
I don't know how many times today I've told you I'm busy.
Well, this would be a full-time job.
Okay.
And you would have to leave this job.
Oh, okay.
Which, I'd be okay with.
Let's discuss.
The NFL league office is looking for a VP of sports betting.
Oh, okay.
I'm not really sure the job description fits any of us. Your primary duties are, one, continuing to protect the integrity of the game. Well, you better fire every referee then. Two, advancing the NFL's brand and reputation. Three, driving fan engagement globally. And four, growing the value of the NFL's data and intellectual property. It's a nice way of saying, let's see how much money we can make off of gambling.
All right.
It's the NFL, so they got to pay well, right?
Yeah, you would think. Although it does sound, it's like sports radio. I'm sure there's a lot of people who want the job. It's one of those jobs, sports radio can get, they can get people to work for 25 grand a year because they just want to be in the job.
Yeah.
So maybe it's like that.
I don't know. I would hope a VP in the NFL.
And that's why I'm still making 25 grand a year. That's what I want to do. That's what I love.
You're such a liar. You make 30. Don't lie. All right, quick break. One more segment to go. It's a Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
The Blitz. The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. You are listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Fred Fowler and AJ Hoffman.
And we're back on The Blitz. Patrick Creighton tweeted at us and said The Mandalorian is awesome, freaking awesome. Patrick Creighton,
I just don't like Star Wars stuff
anymore. Well, I don't either, and that's been my reluctance.
Kind of out on the Star Wars. There's too much.
But people say it's really, really good. So I'll give it a chance, but I just haven't gotten Disney yet.
Well, there's people who think that Return of the Jedi is better than Empire Strikes Back. Well, so how am I supposed to trust these idiots? Dumb.
Well, I'm not listening to them. Nor am I listening to anybody who told me that last movie was any good. Late Hits with Patrick Creighton and Jason Braddock at 8 tonight after the Buzz.
We're talking The Mandalorian? The Mandalorian?
The Lakers. I want to talk about the Lakers.
The Mandalorian could never work in 1970. Today it's the day for The Mandalorian.
Oh man! If you haven't listened to that show, guys, it's a great show. You really should tune in.
Feeling like Creighton's getting better.
Yeah, that was pretty good. You gonna do a dumbass report?
Yeah.
Well, let's do a dumbass report.
Yeah.
if you are ever knocked into a pond that's being dug by a digger and you claim that the accident left you afraid of heights and unable to lift weights and you got a settlement, it's probably not best to post multiple videos of you lifting weights and then going down a water slide.
Oh.
When you're afraid of heights.
Not wise, guys.
Yeah, he's a Euro.
Of course.
Yeah, Greater Manchester. He is Ben Bardsley. He fell in 2015. He got his damages were estimated about 4,500 pounds. Damn. But by exaggerating his injuries, he got four or five times that actual amount. Well, now he's been ordered to pay 15,000 pounds in legal costs because the judge decided that it was nonsense and ruled he was guilty of fundamental dishonesty in respect of his claim. Not wise, guys.
Dumbass.
Hey, this doesn't seem nice. Maybe this person was telling a lie because their pants were on fire. A high school student was seriously burned. A classmate set her pants on fire for no reason. And now the guy's facing serious charges. I guess he thought it was funny. He was trying to make a prank. He had a lighter walking down the hallway. The student was talking to the assistant principal when this guy kneeled down and lit her pants on fire. The principal helped the victim put the fire out, but the damage had been done. He lit the frayed jeans on her right knee, and she was treated for second-degree burns.
Jeez. Dumbass!
It's very odd. I mean, like, there's security cameras. There's
What are you doing?
You did it right in front of the principal. What are you doing? Kids these days, they don't know how to get away with pranks. A man was trying to make his way back to Minneapolis, or to a Minneapolis hotel, at 3 a.m.
Uh-oh.
When he tried to cross the Mississippi River, except he didn't use a bridge. He said Google Maps directed him across the river, which was frozen, but yeah. Of course he fell through the ice. Minneapolis Fire Department spokesman says he speculated the man misinterpreted the direction and should have crossed the bridge instead. I think that's probably what Google Maps meant. The man who was visiting from out of state had a mild case of hypothermia.
Oh, he survived.
Did survive.
I'm guessing alcohol was involved.
And a Florida man is accused of walking into a Port St. Lucie nursing home and smothering his ex-girlfriend's 95-year-old boyfriend in his bed. William Eugene Hawkins, who's 47, which, by the way, I want to know how old the girlfriend is.
Yeah.
Dumps him for a 95-year-old guy.
Money.
Very odd choice. They caught him. They didn't know who it was at first. Then they were suspicious of him. And his sister, which, by the way, his sister, you can't sell out your own brother to the law, but wore a wire and had a conversation with him. He said him killing this guy was basically like him climbing Mount Everest. Let's say in your life you wanted to climb Mount Everest, okay? In all your life, you trained and trained and trained to climb Mount Everest, all right? And finally you climbed it. In all your life, finally you made it to the top. When you made it to the top, how would you feel? This was his life's goal, was to murder this old man. He's probably going to die in the next couple of years anyway. Yeah, he's in a nursing home.
What the hell, 94 years old?
Dumbass.
Not wise, guys. And that is the Dumbass Report.
All right, that's going to wrap it up. Solid job, Aaron. Hoffman, you were on your game today.
Of course I was.
I was pretty good myself for a Monday.
You've been worse.
We'll have to pick it up tomorrow.
Roughneck win.
Oh, boy. I can't wait to hear. I'm going to have to find a way to listen to the radio feed.
I don't think John's going to be with us much longer. He's going to take a national job.
He's going to be the voice.
He's the new Gus Johnson. It's basically what it boils down to.
All right. So Buzz Williams Coach's Show coming up at 7. Late Hits, Patrick Creighton, Jason Braddock.
The Mandalorian!
And we're Trey talking Campbell. Mandalorian?
Till tomorrow, stay sports, you bitches.